Hey guys, thanks for joining us at I-80 Sports. Today we're talking news and notes of the week and previewing the upcoming Week 13 college football game. Hey guys, I'm here. I'm Rich, here as always with Ed and Dave. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Football, happy Thanksgiving. Football, unless you're a Raven fan.
Yeah, that game got moved, huh?
Yeah.
Got moved. It's Sunday now. 12, I think, or 1 o'clock.
Yeah, they're going to play. I think, is it the early kickoff, or are they playing at 4:20?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I know Pittsburgh is.
I wonder what NBC's going to do, because they lose the game, I think. Unless they're going to show on NBC on Sunday. I don't know.
Just means everybody's going to be tuned in to New Mexico, Utah State.
There it is. Yeah, there you go. Thursday night. That's where you're going to have your dessert watching those guys.
That's a good spot for them. Prime time, the only game on. Good for those two teams. I like that. All right, let's. We got some interesting stuff here this week. Some news just came out about Nick Saban, but there's other news and notes of the week that we're going to discuss here. The first one we'll talk about is Florida State and Clemson. So, what happened here?
We talked about it a little bit on our live show Sunday, and just to continue with what it's. It's a shame, and I told Dave, who was there Sunday, and the other guys from I-80 Sports, that if all of a sudden Clemson started testing positive and more positive, I would take the heat for it. But now they're still clean. They're playing Saturday, and it's just a shame that the two medical staffs couldn't agree. Quick rundown: Clemson had a guy that showed symptoms, but he was testing he tested negative. He was negative. Friday, he tested positive. Florida State did not feel comfortable playing because of contact tracing, and this kid practiced. Clemson offered to play. Clemson offered to get everybody tested again Saturday and play Sunday. And then they even agreed to get tested Saturday and Sunday, and they'd play them on Monday just to get the game in. And Florida State told them, no, we'll postpone the game. I think it ended up being that it cost Clemson somewhere between $250,000 to $275,000 for the weekend, for travel and putting the team up and everything like that, that they're not going to get back. The AD said the only way they're going back there to play this year is if Florida State pays for it.
Yeah, Dabo was a little upset about that. He was like, I don't take advice from Tallahassee. He wasn't happy.
He basically thinks, and I tend to agree with him, that Florida State did not want to play, and they had one quarterback healthy on their roster, so they didn't want to play. And I mean, at home, they're not having a good season. Notre Dame's coming off a bye week and also off an upset loss to Notre Dame. Trevor Lawrence was going to come back. It had the makings of a blowout, but instead of, I guess, drinking or taking their medicine, they used COVID as a reason to postpone the game. Now it's supposed to be played in December. I heard a story this week that it's also possibly linked to Florida State having some financial issues this year, and now they can use this and build up the Clemson Florida State rivalry even more and have more people tune in and bigger money from the TV. I don't know. But they should have played.
Yeah, I think they should have played too.
The one thing I will say though is, and the NFL does this a lot too, if a person is showing symptoms, they should just go home, even if they're testing negative, because we know that you can go 2-3 days before you actually test positive. I don't understand why you allow somebody – and it comes out to the only team, don't get me wrong. Why would you allow a player to practice if he's showing symptoms? You should automatically send him home and make him take a 3 or 4 days until you make sure he tests negative.
I guess based off of their medical staff, he was testing negative. Even though he was showing symptoms, he was getting tested every day and was negative. The minute he tested positive, he was quarantined from the team and activities. But who knows? It's sad, and it's going to make you think every time now, teams like this, that if it's small cases, that something like this could be going on.
Here's the next interesting note here out of the Big Ten. We have Wisconsin is no longer eligible for the Big Ten championship game. They're only going to play 5 of their 8 games that they're scheduled to be played, and they have to have 6 to get into the Big Ten championship. So we're likely looking at a Northwestern Ohio State title game here, in my opinion. Things could obviously change, but that's the way it's headed. So what else we have on Wisconsin being eliminated from the Big Ten conference championship?
Yeah, that's That's upsetting. Not as upsetting as it would have been if they beat Northwestern last week, which they lost. Northwestern looked good. They got Northwestern has a defense. They have a real good defense. But I think it hurts the Big Ten's chances now to get somebody in the college football playoff unless it's Ohio State. I don't think an Ohio State Northwestern Big Ten championship is as attractive as Ohio State Wisconsin would have been. And just the way that the Big Ten East is, with Penn State being atrocious, and you know,
if Wisconsin wins that game, they go.
If Wisconsin,
they get in? Who? I'm sorry. If Northwestern wins that game, do they get in?
I don't know. I don't think so.
They run the table.
If they run the table and they're undefeated, it's going to be hard for them to make it up. Hold on, let me see here. They're 8. At least they're in the top 10 right now, the first rankings. I mean, that's a huge thing to be within the top 10, but. I don't. That's the same thing that we talked about earlier in the year with the whole thing. Northwestern, what will they be? They'd be a 9-0 undefeated Big Ten team that beat Ohio State. It's the same thing that you think, yeah. Though Ohio State, the best they're going to be is 8-0.
Yep.
Do they get in?
The more I think about it, the more I believe that Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, and then the fourth team is kind of up for grabs. If things play out how they should, if Notre Dame takes care of business here on Friday against North Carolina, that's a huge game. We'll preview later. But that's where it's leaning here.
Yeah, so I agree with that. But just like you said, before we even talk about that, Notre Dame has to get by North Carolina this week. If you're Texas A&M, if you're Cincinnati, if you're Florida – more Texas A&M and more Cincinnati. You're a huge North Carolina fan. This huge.
While we're talking here, rankings, Ed, why don't you give us your top six again for this week? Now they finally released the first playoff rankings this week.
Yeah, and I didn't like the first playoff rankings. I thought they were shaky at best. I can go over that quick next, but I have the same, I believe, as I had last week. Alabama is still number one. They got Auburn this week without Saban. It's official. He definitely won't be there. I don't think it's going to make a difference. Notre Dame, I still have it too. They got a huge game Friday in Chapel Hill. Ohio State, I'm leaving them at 3, although I'm a big guy. Keep saying like 8-0. Do they even get in? Do they even get in? But I have Ohio State still at 3 because of their talent. Justin Fields, I thought, looked very human this past weekend. And they held on to beat Indiana 42-35, but he threw 3 picks. The coach was giving him a chance to throw the ball, but I mean, I think they should have run the ball. They were running the ball right down Indiana's throat. I think it would have been worse if they kept the ball on the ground. I still have Clemson at 4. I think they need a couple big wins starting this weekend with a big win versus Pitt, and then next week with a big win at Virginia Tech. That'll help their cause. Still have Florida at 5. I know they lost to Texas A&M, and that's what the playoff people said, that they put Texas A&M ahead of Florida based on head-to-head. But the Texas A&M hasn't played in 3 weeks. It's a huge week for them. They get LSU at home. LSU isn't what LSU used to be, but they looked better last Saturday. So Texas A&M not in there. And then I'm leaving Cincinnati at 6. Nice comeback win against Central Florida this past weekend. Like I said, they're going to be rooting for North Carolina. They need Notre Dame or Clemson to lose before the ACC championship, and that will really help Cincinnati. And in my opinion, Texas A&M's cause to get in there. But I did want to say that I think Cincinnati having their game canceled this week against Temple is going to hurt them a little bit, because it's just based off of what some
they
of
the need to roll every week.
Yeah. And some of the college football player, you know, when you heard the rankings, like they have Clemson at 3 and Ohio State at 4. And that they said is, they really based that off of lack of games and lack of quality games. Like they said, Ohio State's schedule is weak and they only played 4 games. So every game that a team loses, I think that's going to play a factor into it, which I don't think is fair because of the virus, you know, the virus, but it seems like they're going that way. So that's my top 6 this week.
Dave, any changes to your top 6? Or you agree with Ed here?
What are your thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Ed. I think I would throw Florida ahead of Texas A&M. I know Texas A&M beat them head-to-head, but Florida, I think, has looked more impressive overall. And the one thing I will say real quick, BYU at 14 is a joke. I mean, they should be top 10.
Yeah, not 9-0 coming out 14th. I a couple people on Twitter, you guys follow us on Twitter, a couple guys I've been talking with on Twitter – they asked, and I'll give my honest opinion is they had a chance even before this week, and I know Rich, you're going to talk about it. Washington is offering to play them because their game got canceled. But before, I believe it happened before that game got canceled, Washington was trying to pick up a game and offered to play BYU, and BYU pretty much came out and said, nah, let's see where we are in the first rankings, and then we'll decide. I think that got out, and the College Football Playoff Committee heard it, and I think that's part of the reason they ranked them at 14, because BYU turned down, pretty much was holding off to play a game against a Power 5 conference based off of where they came out the first week. And
yeah, that's something I was actually just going to mention here and while talking about some of our different games that were postponed and canceled. So Washington and BYU, the reports said I saw there were reports that said they were trying to schedule a game for this weekend. Again, Washington's game versus Washington State was canceled due to COVID, but so far this hasn't happened. I mean, it's Wednesday now at the time of filming. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We're kind of getting a little late here to schedule a game, although it'll never be too late. There is a game this week for week 13 that's going to be played on Tuesday. So I guess we could play games up until Tuesday, but it's getting kind of late here to schedule that game. That's interesting that you heard that also. So among that game that's been canceled, we had Washington State. Utah-Arizona State was moved to Sunday. San Diego State, Fresno State was canceled. UAB, Southern Mississippi was canceled. We mentioned Cincinnati and Temple was canceled. And we mentioned in depth before Minnesota, Wisconsin, Tulsa, Houston was postponed. Louisiana Tech, Florida International was canceled. So not a huge list of games here, but definitely some notables with this BYU news, the Wisconsin news, and the Cincinnati playoff implications. So a lot of things, a lot of games canceled that could affect some playoff rankings and cases teams could make.
And just I'm just reading now, BYU basically they wanted it guaranteed that they would play Washington, and Washington can't guarantee it until actually end of day tomorrow. So basically,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Pac-12 reversed their thing. Now there's rules. The opponent must meet Pac-12 COVID protocols. The game must be a home game for the Pac-12 team and be televised by a Pac-12 TV partner. And if a Pac-12 opponent becomes available by the end of day Thursday prior to the game, they must play the available conference opponent. So basically what BYU, and I understand, they wanted a full commitment. So basically if, let's say, another team pops positive today or even tomorrow morning at practice and has a game canceled, then per the Pac-12, Washington would have to play that Pac-12 team. So then they would cancel the BYU game. And BYU would be out of a game. So, I mean, it's all here or there, but I'd like to see them put together because that would help BYU without a doubt, seeing them play them.
Yeah, that'd be a good game. Let's talk about some other stuff here from week 12, a couple of recaps. So, again, we had Bedlam last week.
Not really.
Not great. Not great. Sanders got knocked out early, came back in later in the game.
Yeah.
You know, it was 41-13. Oklahoma took care of him. The Big 12 chances, I think, have gone by the wayside to make the playoff here. But let's just talk a little bit about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State from last week.
Yeah, I was not much of a game. Oklahoma came out early, scored often, and just even when it was within, I don't know, it wasn't really within anything. It was ugly for Oklahoma State. It was just a nice beginning to end for Oklahoma. Probably sealed them. I'd say probably locked them into the Big 12 championship game now. Although, I mean, West Virginia, you know, what West Virginia team's going to show up Saturday will be interesting because West Virginia, they can run the ball. So if they keep the ball away from Rattler and that offense, we may have
the best defense in the Big 12 also, West Virginia.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma State had the best defense till last week, and then Oklahoma did what they did to them. That pumped West Virginia up to one. But I mean, Oklahoma looks like Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State pretty much eliminated itself. I mean, they didn't even, what were they? 23rd at 5-2 in the initial ranking. So that was a tough loss for them. So I think it's going to be Oklahoma and the winner of the other game this week of Iowa State at Texas that plays for.
Yeah, I have a couple things about this. First of all, clearly Oklahoma State, their offense was the worst unit out of all the units in that game. And Mike Gundy's now, what, 2-14 all time against Oklahoma? And, you know, you wonder, this is a theme we haven't really talked about a lot with the COVID is, how would Oklahoma be if they had a full spring practice and everything? Because Spencer Rattler, now that offense is really rolling. And, you know, you wonder, like, had they been a normal season, if they've been rolling from the start, they could be undefeated at this point. We'll never know. But yeah, it's a shame, but it's the way it is. Yeah,
that's just the way it is. They're good. Oklahoma's good, but just like Rich said, I don't think anybody from the Big 12 is getting into the college football playoff.
No,
not with two losses.
I think another game from last week that was kind of an underrated game coming in that turned out to be a really awesome matchup was NC State against Liberty. That game was awesome. I don't know if you guys got to catch that game or you just saw some highlights, but NC State Liberty. NC State ended up winning 15-14. Number 21 Liberty went down. They were 21. They had 8 wins in a row. This is Liberty here. They beat bad to average teams. Their undefeated runs over. They actually had a chance with about a minute left with a field goal to go ahead, but it was blocked by the Wolfpack here. That game was awesome. Liberty's undefeated runs over. They're still having a great year. I think they played UMass on Friday.
Yeah, that was their Liberty's
Friday at 1:00.
Liberty's first ACC loss too. They were doing pretty well with their ACC opponents this year. That was their first loss in the ACC. It kind of puts a damper on it too. I was looking forward to the end of the season. I was hoping Liberty and Coastal Carolina would be stay undefeated for their matchup on. I think it's December 4th. They're going to play. Still. They're a quality squad. That's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, Coastal took care of App State, too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And NC State's like the – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Not a bit. Go.
No. I was like, NC State's like the cardiac kids. They had a last-minute win against Liberty, a last-minute win against Pitt. They definitely have been very dramatic this year.
I tell you, the game I want to talk about is Michigan and Rutgers in 3 overtimes. The game I ended up getting – once Bedlam got out of the, you have them both on, you're watching both, but once the Bedlam game was a little out, I kind of had all my focus on that game. I mean, Rutgers came out blazing, up 17-0, looking like it was going to be a blowout, and Harbaugh, thinking Harbaugh would get fired at halftime, but he puts in the young kid, quarterback comes back, but I mean, I'm a Schiano fan. I think he did a great job with Rutgers when he was first there. Does a great job with any high school program in New Jersey. He's tremendous at what he does. But first time I have to criticize his coaching. In the first overtime, they had Michigan kid misses the field goal. Rutgers in perfect opportunity to win the game. They run a dive. The kid gets 3 yards. Great. Second down, all you have to do is run the dive again. Even if the kid gets a yard, 2 yards, whatever, you're still inching closer because you're going to go for the field goal. Instead, he throws out a screen pass, loses 3 yards. Then on third and 10, all he does is have the quarterback take a step back and kind of dive towards the middle of the field to make it a centered field goal, which ended up losing another yard. So he added to the field goal for the kicker, and then the kicker missed it. And then they start the second overtime with that beautiful tight end screen that we ran when I coached. It was awesome. Why don't you run the tight end screen the first play of the first overtime? You win the game. Or if you don't want to do that and you're going to rely on your field goal kicker, stick with what you did on first down. Dive, 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 kick. But it's a shame. I think Rutgers should have won that game. That's something that
– Sometimes you can out-coach yourself. Sometimes you can out-coach yourself.
That's what I think
you did. Trying to set something up. You have an opportunity. You're like, all right, I think we're ready to run this play, and it doesn't work out like that screenplay there.
It's a shame. It would have been a huge win because the past two seasons before this – Michigan beat them, 52-0 last year. And I remember the one year I went to the game was in Rutgers. I mean, the Rutgers band was playing the Michigan fight song because it was like 70-0. This would have been a huge win for Coach Schiano and Rutgers. It's just a shame. Great game, though. Great to watch. Very exciting.
It was a very entertaining game. It ended late on here on the East Coast. It was like 1 a.m. when that game finished.
Yeah.
It was good. Well worth staying to watch.
As a little aside, I just wanted to I catch the radio coverage from Michigan, and Dan Dierdorf is doing the game, and I didn't realize he was still around. I thought he retired from like CBS years ago, but I guess he's doing the game on the radio.
Yeah. A lot of those guys that retired end up doing
local radio. Did he go to Michigan?
I believe he did go to Michigan, yes.
Okay. Yeah, he was good. He was a good tackle in the NFL for the Cardinals.
Yeah, because Brett Musburger does the Raiders games, I think.
Yes, he does. Well, he moved out to Las Vegas years ago.
Yeah, he's the radio broadcast.
He also has a show on VSiN Action Network. It's like a betting channel. Okay. He hosts out there. He's got a couple of radio shows.
He's got a great voice.
Musburger's awesome. He's got a great radio voice. Let's go into another one here. We'll just recap these quick. We talked a little bit about this one before. Northwestern beating Wisconsin 17-7. We had Georgia taking down Mississippi State 31-24. That game was a little closer than we expected.
Georgia had
Cincinnati with a late win here, 36-33.
Georgia couldn't run the ball. For the first time, Georgia couldn't run the ball against Mississippi State at all. And in comes the savior, Daniels, the USC transfer, comes in, throws four touchdown passes in his first start for the Bulldogs. It's very interesting to see Georgia having trouble running the ball and actually having to win through the air. And this kid looked good. And, of course, all Georgia fans were like, why didn't you start him in the beginning of this? What's your thoughts on that? How does Georgia at 5-2, they're ninth in the initial rankings?
I don't think they should be over BYU.
I don't think they should be over Indiana. Indiana had they almost came back and beat Ohio State. Indiana's 4-1. They're at 12.
Yeah, the way Florida trashed Georgia, how can you put them in the top 10?
I don't know. They're at 9. That's what I mean. It was real. The first college football rankings were very disappointing.
Yeah. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I said Stetson Bennett was holding back Georgia, and here comes JT Daniels and performs well. So
makes you look like a genius
there. Yeah.
You're right.
All right. We have some getting into our week 13 games here. We have a few to preview. A couple big games on Friday. We have Iowa State, number 13, versus number 17, Texas on Friday. Let's get into Iowa State versus Texas.
Yeah, Iowa State wins. I think that secures their berth in the Big 12 championship game. Texas would like nothing more to beat them and get another shot at Oklahoma in the title game. So I think it's going to be a good game. Iowa State's playing really good football right now, though. To see what they did to Kansas State last week, 45-0. That was impressive. And Breece Hall, the running back. He looks phenomenal recently. I mean, their running game is on point with pretty much anybody in the country. So, I mean, Texas is home. That's an advantage for them. They'll have a crowd there. So, but Iowa State, Texas, I think this one's for a berth in the Big 12 championship game, especially if Iowa State wins.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said there. Both teams are coming in on a three-game winning streak. This is actually going to be an awesome game to watch.
Yeah.
Looking at the recent betting odds here, that's usually a general way you can look at a game to see how exciting it's going to be or close it's going to be. Not all the time, obviously, but it's one. Spread's one. It's a pick 'em. So that actually probably means Iowa State has a little bit of a better team because they're on the road and it's still a pick 'em. Yeah. But I think it's going to be an awesome game to watch here. I'm excited to see Bijan Robinson again. I think he's a phenomenal freshman running back on the ground there.
Yeah, but Texas is getting Whittington back. The last time he played was the Oklahoma game. I think he had 10 catches against Oklahoma, and he got hurt at the end of that game. And this last week was supposed to be his first week back, so he'll be back. Texas is coming off of a COVID bye. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one for sure.
That's a great game. Can't wait for that. I think that's 3:30 on Friday, right? Or is that the
night
game?
I actually think it is 3:30. I think it's going up against the other big Friday game, which is Notre
Dame. Oh, that's 12 o'clock.
Notre Dame
on ABC. ISU, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
12 o'clock.
You got Notre Dame, North Carolina later on, which is your take. How is it officially? Is it two offensive linemen that aren't going to play for Notre Dame this weekend?
I'm not sure. That's a huge blow for them, though, if that's the case.
There's definitely one. It might be two. They're missing some pieces this weekend for sure, and that's why there's been a lot of push, and you can give us the line, but there's been a lot of push towards North Carolina, especially, one, they're home. Two, their offense can put up 40 points on anybody. I mean, they're very explosive on offense. So, you know, Notre Dame can't be looking ahead. This is their last tough game until the ACC championship. So we'll see.
Yeah, the line for that game is actually sitting at 5.5 right now. I'm not sure what it opened at, but I know that's a I think that is more significant in favor of North Carolina. It was a larger spread when it opened up, I believe. This game here, I was really interested in this game. I think this is the game of the week here on Friday. 3:30 kickoff on ABC. Has Notre Dame played any really good offenses besides Clemson?
No, Boston College played with them. It's going to be
Miami, Derrick King. Maybe that was their best offensive test.
I don't even know. I don't think they played Miami.
Oh, no, they haven't played Miami. You're correct.
No, this is it. Notre Dame, and after this, they have Syracuse and Wake Forest. A couple weeks ago, they scared North Carolina. North Carolina came back, so you don't know what you're getting from Wake Forest. But, I mean, this is huge for North Carolina. North Carolina, the thing that stinks is they already have two conference losses. So they would need this to happen, and then they need a miracle for Notre Dame or Clemson to win to get into it, because they have this game and then they end the season against Miami, and they could play spoiler for Miami, because Miami's got their game against Georgia Tech was canceled. Now they don't play again to the fifth. They have Wake Forest, and then they have North Carolina, and they're sitting at one loss, just like Clemson. It's going to be an interesting thing. Clemson needs to win. Notre Dame can afford to lose one game. And then hope, you know, I don't know I'd have to look it up what the tiebreaker would be. If Miami finished the season with a conference with only one loss, Notre Dame had one loss and Clemson had one loss. I know Clemson beat Miami head to head, but I don't know. Notre Dame hasn't played them, so I don't know what the tiebreaker is for
that. I'm not sure about the tiebreaker on that one. I do lean North Carolina. I'm sorry. I do lean Notre Dame here against North Carolina. I think they're going to win by more than a touchdown. Okay. I just think that offensive line, even with a couple pieces missing, I still think they have what it takes to take this game. North Carolina has a big play attack. They put up 563 yards per game. But I just think that Notre Dame's defense can shut down the run, and they're going to make North Carolina one-dimensional. So I think they're going to be able to take down the Tar Heels this week. That's my prediction for that one. I think Notre Dame's going to handle them. It'll be a good game. I think it's another must-see game, the game of the week. But I have North Carolina losing here to Notre Dame slightly.
I don't know. I'm going to be watching it. I don't want to make a prediction on it. I'll definitely watch the game for sure. I want to get some more confirmation, because I know Notre Dame is good, and their starting unit on both sides of the ball are very good, but they don't have the depth, I think. And if it's two starting offensive linemen that don't play for sure, I'll be very curious to see how it plays out. They might have to lean on, book keeping the ball a little bit more, and we'll see. It's going to be a good game. Been a crazy season this year, so let's see what happens.
Let's stay here in the ACC.
Rooting for Notre Dame to slip up, but they don't. So, man, we'll see what happens this week.
Let's stay here in the ACC with Pittsburgh and Clemson. We had to talk about this one just based on our fandom in here. Pittsburgh-Clemson, what do we got here? Lawrence is back. Clemson coming into this game, are they a little bit distracted by this Florida State issue?
No.
I think they could be. I don't think it's going to affect them, but I think they're going to be ready to roll here against Pitt. And like we mentioned earlier, they really do have to roll in this game. The spread here is 24, so Vegas is thinking it's not going to be a game. But, I mean, Pitt always plays them tough. I think Clemson's going to start this week. They're going to turn it on. I think they're going to win pretty handedly this week by 4 scores at least.
Yeah, well, Military Appreciation Day in Death Valley. We'll be rocking the all-purple. We'll come out in all-purple for Pitt this week. Pitt's defense has come back down to earth. They have a good offense. Pickett's back. But this is championship time for Clemson. This is when they start to turn it up. So I'm expecting big things, and I'm hoping I'm correct. Dave, what are you hearing out of Western PA?
I'll tell you what, Clemson is due to give out a big butt whipping. And I was hoping it was Florida State last week, because coming off the Notre Dame loss and getting Lawrence back. Yeah, this is not a good spot for Pitt. But Pitt is playing really well. I mean, they beat Florida State, And then they absolutely crushed Virginia Tech last week. Pickett is looking really good. I think they may hang around early, but I just think Clemson is going to be on a mission to prove a point, because I think they're really annoyed. First losing to Notre Dame and then the game last week. It'll be hard for Pitt to stay competitive in this game.
Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence, we'll see. I mean, he usually doesn't let stuff get to him, but I think he's actually dropped down to like third or fourth even in the Heisman race. So he's definitely, I think, going to come out with something to prove this week as well.
All right, we're running a little over here, so let's get into a couple other games real quick. We'll go into the Big Ten. We'll take a look at Maryland and Indiana. This is going to be an interesting game, in my opinion. I think Indiana, they're sitting at 4-1 here this year. Maryland was red hot before they had a breakout with Corona, but let's see what we think here. Tagovailoa starting for Maryland, Tua's brother. Tua's having some success here in the NFL. He just had his first loss this week with the Miami Dolphins, but his brother here with Maryland, he had them rolling for a little while. They were hot.
Yeah, it was a shame. Let's see if COVID cools Maryland off. That's what I want to see. This will be the Maryland Ohio State game is canceled, so this will be Maryland's big test going against Indiana. So after their first week where they looked atrocious, they've looked really good, and then COVID kind of took some things away from them. And let's see. I'm curious to see how Maryland responds, and I'm also curious to see how Indiana responds after losing close to Ohio State. Should be a good game in the Big Ten.
I like Indiana here. These two guys have all-time football names. I love these two names. Ty Freifogel, he has two 200-yard receiving yard games in a row. And Wop Filer, he's on fire too. He has one less catch than Freifogel does. I think those names are awesome. Yeah. Just as a football name, I think that's always interesting to see. It's just a football name, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like Tank, like that running back. What's his last name? Tank from Arkansas?
Tank Bigsby, right?
Or Bigsby? Yeah, Bigsby, that's it. It's an awesome football
Auburn,
name.
Yeah, for Auburn.
Auburn, that's it, Auburn. But the spread game is 11.5 here. Dave, go ahead. What are your thoughts?
I'm sorry. I think it'll be interesting. Indiana, they can go one of two ways. I think they had their moment in the sun to try to, have the big upset against Ohio State last week. So they could either, come off that and feel good about themselves because they really, played a good game, even though there's no points for finishing second. But or they could, kind of get down and, I think Maryland is talented enough where, if you don't bring your A game, Maryland could definitely take this game.
For sure, for sure. What would this week be without previewing Auburn and Alabama?
Alabama easy. Even without Coach Saban, I got Alabama easy. I think Auburn's winning with mirrors. They've played better as of late, but I just don't think they're a very good football team. And Alabama's just, they're on a different level right now. I hate to say it, but they look like they're definitely the team to beat. Ahead of my Clemson, our Clemson Tigers, ahead of Ohio State for sure, even ahead of Notre Dame. Alabama is playing at a different level right now, and I think Alabama, even without Coach Saban there, is going to roll in this game, especially with them being home.
You know what? I also think it adds to the narrative without Saban there. They're going to want to win the Iron Bowl for him, the coaches and players. He's not there, the head guy who gets you ready for the games year in and year out with Nick Saban. They're going to be ready to go. I agree with you. I think Alabama's going to handle Auburn here.
Yeah, it's a shame because, in our football preview, I was really high on Bo Nix and in his play. I just don't see how Auburn, stays within three or four touchdowns in this game and the Alabama easily.
Should be spread set at 24. I think Alabama, it's going to be close. Have to take a look at more in-depth on that, but I'm not going to give out any picks here. But 24 is a pretty big spread that I do believe Alabama is going to cover. I don't think it'll be a close game. Any final thoughts before we go?
Hey, I'm just looking forward to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday football. Friday's got a real good slate. Saturday's a good slate for college as well. I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's all going to start for me tomorrow morning, guys. This is what you have to look forward to. I started my career coaching on Thanksgiving morning. It was high school teams. Tomorrow I'll be coaching a 7-year-old flag football game at 9 a.m. So it comes full circle there, but it's still Thanksgiving football. So
hey, that's it.
Good luck tomorrow. Have a great Thanksgiving. Yeah, thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us.
You know, the late. I'm sorry, can I say one thing?
No, go ahead. Yeah, go
ahead. The last four national champions. Yeah, the last four national champions were initially ranked number two in the first college football playoff rankings. So Notre Dame, come on down. We'll see if they can make it five in a row. It'll be interesting.
I did see that stat too. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. But hey, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving for Rich, Ed, and Dave. This is I-80 College Football Week 13. We're signing off. See you guys next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.